This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. Welcome, everybody. This is a Totally Cool Tech podcast, edition number 503, 12 days of Black Friday. That's right, it's 12 days till Black Friday. So, this is Sunday, November 14th, 2010. I am Norbert Davis, your host. We're going to be going over some really random stuff today on the podcast. And then we will be looking at a little bit of Black Friday. What are you going for? Are you going to be going for it? It all depends, because it's going to be depending on a lot of things here for me as well. So, Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the TechPodcasts.com network. If it's tech, it's here, where you will find shows that are family-friendly and work safe. We're also part of the Blueberry.com podcast community, where podcasters and listeners all come together. That's Blueberry without the E's. So please go ahead and check out both of these sites for other great podcasts. I know you'll find some great ones, like the Caffeination Podcast and Paul Muller over at caffeination.com. All right, this show is sponsored by myself, and I'm powered by Mountain Dew Code Red, and whatever coffee I find for my my Keurig. So I have to thank Keurig for making a really great coffee maker. I know Paul over at the Caffeination is not exactly thrilled with this kind of coffee maker, but hey, Paul, I'm not going to Starbucks, so... I'm good with that. It works for me. We're going to just jump right on into it, because trying last night to go ahead and find some items, it was painful for two reasons. One, I didn't really see a lot out there that I thought was really cool. And two, my youngest son wanted me to play with him. So I had to play Star Wars Treble. Which, if you haven't ever played that, you know, it's got the little pop-up thing in the middle that bounces your die around. It also has inside there a little mini R2-D2. And every time you pop it, you know, R2-D2 bounces around with the die as well. And I really don't know the rule on what happens if R2-D2 actually stands up on all three of his arms, his tracks, whatever you call them. Because it has all three of them out, like, you know, when he's tilting back and cruising along. Something happens there. I don't know if you get another roll or whatever. I didn't really check the rules or whatever, so it doesn't matter to me. But anyway, every time you press that thing down, it makes an R2-D2 sound. It's actually pretty funny. So if you want to get some R2-D2 sounds, buy one of those games for your kids and then just, you know, record all the sounds, and you can put it on your computer there. And if you want to utilize those, I'm sure George Lucas wouldn't mind. I mean, you're paying for it, right? You paid to get those sounds. I think it's cool. All right. Let's see. Oh, yeah, and I also had to get, play him in Halo 3 on, they call it Slayer. And, I got slayed pretty much. I got my butt kicked by a six-year-old in Halo. So that tells you how good of a gamer I am. That's why I don't game. All right. First up, it looks like the Kinect, which has come out from Xbox, or for the Xbox 360, has been hacked. And there are people out there who are taking the Kinect and doing some pretty cool things with it. One of the things is someone has been able to do laser tracking projection with a Kinect and this thing called OpenCV, which is an open source, the open source driver for the Kinect, which is pretty darn cool. And what this guy did is he made it so where his Kinect would look for rectangles or quadrilaterals. So basically, you know, he takes a box and he sticks it up in the air, and the computer with the Kinect goes ahead, recognizes it, and puts laser dots on the four corners. Pretty sweet. And he moves it around and the thing tries to react. So that is pretty cool how it is able to detect the motion and all that, which is what the Kinect does. There's a rumor that Apple was supposed to get this thing and they couldn't seal the deal. I don't know about that. It sounds pretty possible, but you know, who knows with what was Apple going to do with the Kinect? I don't know. But there's another one. I see this one I found. Where did I find it? So I'll have all the links here for you. Hacked Gadgets has this one here. And then over at Uber Gizmo, somebody took the same program, the same driver, you know, the source code, and a Kinect, and they basically have been able to do what Tom Cruise did in Minority Report. So he was able to take, just by looking at the Kinect and using his gesture movements with his hands and stuff, he was able to manipulate photos on his computer screen, not a holographic image of him, but on the computer screen, he was able to take his photos that he had, and it looks like they were strewn about on top of a virtual desktop, I guess, and he was able to, quote-unquote, pick them up, move them around, reorient them as far as, you know, rotate them around, and then change their size, just like Tom Cruise did in Minority Report with all those bits of information that I think it is the computers, you know, the Big Brother took of the subjects that they're looking at, and the precogs would give them and all that. So pretty cool. I'll have the links to all these, and you can actually see there's some video for a lot of the stuff I've got tonight. So there's video on the last one with the box and the laser tracking. There's some video on the multi-touch with a hacked Kinect, which is pretty slick. So if you want to give that a look, I thought it was sweet. So, you know, it might not be too far away that we're going to be doing what they did in Minority Report. That could be pretty cool. All right. Over in San Diego, there's a Greenasium. I guess that's what they call it, a Greenasium. It's a gym that is trying to go green. And what they've done is they've taken some of the bicycles, the stationary bicycles that, you know, a lot of people like to get on and ride and get their exercise from that. Well, what they've done is they've used these Viz cycles. And with that cycle, all the energy that you put into exercising gets put back into the grid. That is sweet. So basically, instead of plugging this thing in to get it to, most bicycles at the gyms, the stationary bicycles will have, you know, the programs, and you can set up, and it'll give you all the indications of whether you're going to go uphill or downhill, and you can set up all those modes and things like that. This doesn't have that. This is just a basic, simple, stationary type bike. However, it's got a generator hooked up to it that when you're pedaling, you're making energy, it puts it back into the grid, and it makes it cheaper for that company to operate. So, and it's healthy. I mean, you're getting healthier, you're making the planet healthier, so it's a win-win situation for everybody. I think that's really, really cool. Okay, and that was over at Coolest Gadgets, which I think that is a pretty cool gadget. And you can, 50 to 150 watts during a half-hour workout. That's not too bad. I think that's really cool. I mean, that would be enough to power or charge 5 netbooks or 10 to 15 smartphones or a stereo system. Pretty cool. All right. There's a group of people, and I found this over at Geeky. I tell you what, it's early in the morning. I'm still needing my coffee. Just got up. I was up late last night and got up early this morning to do this podcast. So over at Geeky Gadgets, there's a bunch of people who are just Halo diehard fans, and they did some awesome DIY costumes. Of course, it's of the Master Chief, but there's 7 of these guys. And they made some awesome costumes. I only see one with an actual weapon, which looks like one of the plasma pistols from the Elite, I think it is, you know, from the Covenant. And these all look really, really good, but that's the only weapon I see. And my kids used to have that. I mean, that's a toy you can get online. But these are awesome costumes. I think they're really done well. And I mean, most of these guys are probably, say 3 of them are around, I'd say 5'10", 5'8", maybe. A couple of them at around 5'10", and then there's probably a couple 6 foot plus guys. And really, really awesome. Very, very detailed. Made really well. And I am jealous because this is the costume I would want to have. And my sons would die to have one of these costumes. So I know it's well after Halloween, but this is really cool. You got to see this. These guys did some really, really good stuff. Okay. Oh, yeah. If you are an Oreo fan, and I am. I love Oreos. Somebody has finally came out with a way to dip an Oreo completely, a single Oreo completely, without getting your fingers wet and eat the whole cookie. It's a simple little device. It looks like someone took a fork, removed all of the tines except one, made it really long, and then wrapped it about halfway around a cookie. What you do, it's skinny enough to where you sit the cookie on there, and it rests in there completely, and it won't fall off, so you can dip the cookie and then go ahead and eat it. This is a million-dollar idea. Now, while this isn't an item you can actually buy right now, at least not, retail, because it hasn't been mass-produced yet, these people are looking for about $10,000 right now. Someone to, a venture capitalist to go ahead and maybe an angel fund or something like that, get these guys going. But what they say, they need $10,000 and they can start manufacturing this. That would be pretty cool. I could see this at your local drugstore. The Five and Dime. Well, it used to be called the Five and Dime. But at your local drugstore, to have something like this, that would really work. It would sell for like $1.99. $1.99? Yeah, maybe. I think that would work. Find it over at like a Big Lots or something like that. Pretty cool. All right. Over at Nerd Approved, if you remember about a year ago or so, a gentleman from Great Britain, I believe it was in Great Britain, maybe it was France, because of the guy's name here, Yves Rossi. He's the jetpack guy, the jetman. He flew across the English Channel with a jetpack and a pair of wings across his back. And, well, it's not a jetpack, little jet engines attached to a wing that was attached to his back. Well, he's back. And he's like 51 years old now. And what he has done, he's now become the first person to ever do a loop on his own. So he went ahead and he went into a balloon, jumped off the balloon, had the started the engines, and then performed a complete loop. It is awesome. This guy is just killer. He's amazing. The fact that, number one, he built this thing and got it to work well, and then to be able to do these stunts. It's awesome. So if you want to see that, and he did it back here just about 11 days ago. No, 9 days ago. On 11-5, 2010, he went ahead and he made a complete loop. So check that out. It's they got a YouTube video for it. I'll give you the link to the site. And you can go ahead and check that out. And it's too cool. Too cool. This guy's crazy. I love it. All right. Now, speaking of flying, well, there's a little less of flying. This is actually falling. I don't know if we've talked about this previously. I think I may have. But a father and son film outer space with a DIY kit. They didn't buy it. They made it. And basically what it was, they took some foam packaging. They put in a small video camera, an iPhone, and GPS equipment in this specially designed insulating case, along with some hand warmers. If you've ever gone camping or hunting, and those chemical hand warmers, a little pouch that you go ahead and it depends on which one it is. You pop them, get them started, and they keep your hands warm. They went ahead, they made one of these, threw it together, and then hooked it up to a helium balloon, a weather balloon style balloon. And that thing went up to over 100,000 feet and captured some really great footage of space before the balloon popped and fell back towards Earth. They found that their spacecraft They found their spacecraft 25 miles away from where they had let it go, stuck up in a tree about 50 feet when it finally came down. And it took video the whole time. There's video here online that you can watch. It's around 7 minutes, but they've edited a lot out of it. A lot of the boring stuff. And then it was stuck up in a tree. And 2 minutes before hitting the ground, before touchdown, it actually, the batteries died. They finally succumbed to the rigors of the space travel, high altitude. They had like 100-mile-an-hour winds that they hit. It was very, very cold. I think it went down to like negative 40, something like that. So, but it worked. It really, really worked. It's pretty darn cool. And this is how, you know, the space race started. This is how people actually got up in the rockets in the space and things like this, by doing things like this. This is so cool that people are actually still doing this. And, you know, the government hasn't been able to stop you from doing it. I think it's really, really sweet. All right. Over at, where is this? Everything USB. I thought this was cool because if you're hearing, if you really listen to the podcast, you'll probably hear my mouse click and my scroll wheel go every now and then. And I've been looking for, past 3 or 4 years, I've been looking for a quiet mouse. I want a silent mouse so that I can, you know, go ahead and manipulate my web pages and all that, my computer right here at my desk, and record and not get the click of the mouse or the scroll wheel or anything like that. Now there's a 3M ergonomic mouse, and this thing has basically a touch-sensitive cover that will, you know, prevent clicking. And it's really, really cool. So, you know, it uses almost like the Apple screen gestures for like the iTouch and the iPhone and the iPad. And that is what I need. It's called the SpeedLink Q Wireless Touch Mouse, and allows you to flick vertically to scroll or horizontally to navigate through pages. You can also customize any commands you want, but keep in mind that the Q mouse apparently recognizes gestures with one or two fingers. So granted, the mouse surface may not have enough room for three fingers. It is as big as a trackpad, and it looks like it's pretty cool. I got to get me one of these. I don't know how much it is. It works off of a 2.4 gigahertz transceiver, so that's pretty sweet. I got to get me one of these. Well, right now there is no price on the SpeedLink Q. That sucks because I really want to get one of these. I really, really do. Looks like they're going to have it ready to work with everything. Operating systems should include Windows XP 32, Windows Vista 32, Windows Vista 64, Windows 7, 32, and 64. So, yeah, I want one. You can get them in red, black, white. And see, what else did they have? I think they had red, black, white. And that's it. Oh, and silver. Red, white, black, and silver. Pretty darn sweet. I want to get one of those. All right. Now, this is... I found this on Uber Gizmo, and it looks like there's a little bit of... trickery going on, and this is similar to what I think is going on with some of the Intel chips, but this is going on with Ford. If I read my article correct the other day, with Intel, if you want your chip to work a little bit faster, a little bit better, you got to give them a little bit more money. Your same chip, they have some little key, software key or whatever, that will unlock the full potential of your chip, your computer, your CPU. Well, Ford has done that with the 2012 Ford Mustang Boss 302. It will go faster with a special track key. Now, does that not suck? So, you might think that the 2012 Ford Mustang Boss 302 is already on an above the average muscle car, but it can go even faster if you decide to drop an additional, you know, dollars for a special red-colored track key. Now, whenever you kick in the Boss 302 into life using the track key, more than 200 parameters are changed in the car's software instructions, where it will transform the street-legal 444-horsepower street machine into a track racer. all without having to pay to visit the workshop. The track key will result in you getting more low-end grunt, is what they say, quicker throttle response, and a two-stage launch control feature that makes drag racing starts a snap. Now, I don't know how many people are going to buy this and, you know, take this thing out to the track, but it could happen. And it's sad to know that as a consumer, you have to pay even more to unleash the additional horses or, you know, horsepower or abilities of any kind of product that you buy. That, you know, you buy the product, it has potential, but yet you can't unlock it. You can't make it work automatically. You have to pay extra after that. I think that sucks. I bought it. It's mine. I should be able to do with it, you know, with it whatever I want within some reasonable parameters. And I don't want to set any limits right now or, you know, talk about that too much. But why should I have to pay more for a car that can do a whole lot by buying a special key? I don't know. Maybe somehow the, you know, there's something in there, an RFID chip or something like that. I know that a lot of these cars, the alarm and everything is tied to the key. Well, maybe this is somehow tied to the key that it goes to the computer and it resets things. It's got to be what it is. But I don't know. Maybe that is fair. You know, it's like, okay, you put this key in and it basically changes the computer parameter. So, you know, does it matter which key I put in? If I have both keys, if I put one key in, is it okay? Now you got the car that'll tool around town, or do I get the car that, you know, take it down the track and beat the pants off of everybody and maybe win a few pink slips? I don't know. I just find that to be a little bit weird, and I don't know. I just don't think it's fair. Not sure. Oh, well. Anyway, I can't afford one, so whatever. All right. You know, if Santa wants to bring me one, that'd be cool, but I'm not expecting it in my stocking this year. All right. It looks like over in China, someone has taken over 1 million cell phones with a zombie virus. This is pretty darn cool. They've got 1 million phones. 1 million mobile phone users in that country have been hit with this virus. And it's being injected as an antivirus application. That is awesome. And then it goes ahead and it starts, you know, giving you all sorts of spam crap to your own phone and to others. This is great. And they think that they're causing all these users to spend about $300,000 a day in additional charges because all the downloading and all that, that it's, you know, it's calling out on their data plans and all this. This is awesome because if you really want to go after a group of people for viruses and things like that, especially on cell phones, China is going to be the place. I mean, really, think about it. They have 1 billion people. They probably have more people with cell phones than, you know, say, America does. And if not, they will. But the thing is, they're limited. I mean, if you think, you know, we're limited here, they are even more limited on their choices of what they can use, how they can use it, and all that. Their plans, their technology is pretty much set, regulated by the government, so you know what you're up against. You know, it's not like you're going to get one-third of the market or half the market or a quarter of the market. No, you can get the full market if you really work at it hard enough. And I think with the way China is, you know, politically, that has kind of helped set themselves up to be vulnerable to this kind of an attack. So, pretty funny. Anyway, thought it was cool. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I heard about this, and kind of makes sense, but it was a little bit kind of odd. It looks like Scott Towels, Scott Paper Towel Company, it's owned by Kimberly-Clark. They've announced a new line of toilet paper that will eliminate your carbon footprint and be a little bit more helpful to the environment by eliminating the toilet paper roll. That's right, getting rid of that little cardboard center is going to save quite a bit of money and going to save quite a few trees. So they're doing this in a test thing. They've got a test thing going on. They're going to be selling it. Oh, where was it at? I want to say it was going to be at like Costco's or something like that. But they're doing a test to see how well it's taken to, and if it does well, they will go ahead and just kick it off and go through the rest of the United States. So it looks like, they're going to be available in the northeastern United States before spreading to additional territory. So if you are in the the Northeast territories of the United States. So you probably New York, Vermont, Rhode Island, and all that. Massachusetts. You might be seeing this. If you are, let me know. I would really like to see your opinion on this. So it's supposed to reduce waste. Because, I mean, you go to change a toilet paper roll. Are you going to take that toilet paper roll and go put it in your recycle bag or can or whatever? I probably would. No, I wouldn't. I don't. As a matter of fact, I just, when I change the roll, I throw it in the trash. It's not dirty. I should be able to throw it in the recycles, but I don't. So, yeah, why keep it? Now, I don't know how, they're going to make the center of the toilet paper roll stiff enough to work on a toilet paper roll holder. I don't know. Maybe you waste the last bit of this toilet paper. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how they're actually going to be, what technology have they used at the end of the roll to keep it from collapsing on itself. I don't know. That'll be interesting. All right. I say interesting a lot, don't I? Because it is. It's interesting and it's cool. Let's see. Black Friday. We have 12 more days till Black Friday, starting today. So if you are like me, I am signed up to every single Black Friday ad thing that's out there. So I've been getting just tons and tons of Black Friday ads. I also have for my iPod Touch, my first generation iPod Touch, by the way. Tells you how far back I am on that technology. I do have the app, a Black Friday app, which is pretty cool. And it gives me all the ads and all that thing. And not all the ads are out yet. A lot of them have been either put out by the companies or leaked. And some are still coming. But a lot of good deals out there. And, you can get them from, three different sites minimum. Plus every site, every store that I know of, major stores, are actually going to tell you what's coming up. And they're doing pre-Black Friday sales. Places like Newegg is actually doing Black November, where they have sales and deals every day. Places like Kohl's, Target, Walmart are having weekly sales, on different things. They always have a weekly sale, but they're having some like Black Friday style sales on certain items every week. And some of them are even doing, here's our Black Friday deal of the day. I think this is great. Now, apparently, I want to say it's either Target or Kohl's is opening at like 3 a.m. That is going to be crazy. I don't really think, that's just crazy. Now, that might be good in some respects, as you'd be able to go hit that store, get out of there and go to another one, but the other one you won't be able to get like the first, doorbuster deals. But if you want to get in early and get all your stuff over with, that might be the way to go. Now, that means you'll have to get there about 9 o'clock at night on Thanksgiving to go ahead and get ready for this. But maybe if you're doing that, maybe say you have a really good early Thanksgiving dinner and you want to go ahead and burn some of that off, why not head on out to Walmart? Because apparently they're going to be open on Thanksgiving Day. They'll be open from 7 a.m. to noon, offering some Thanksgiving Day sale specials. And do I have an even, let's see. Oh, what do they have? I don't think I have. Oh, yeah, let's see. Sears Thanksgiving Day sale? Oh, Sears is going to be open as well. So, wow. Yeah, there's a lot out there. Go ahead, look at the Black Friday ads. There's Amazon. They're going to have in their Black Friday, which I might actually be doing my Black Friday online. And if I've told you this once, I've told you this before, if you're going to be doing Black Friday or even Cyber Monday online, have your credit card ready to go. Maybe you want to go into your browser, go ahead and put the information in for your autofill so that you can actually get that done really quickly. Because when you need to pull the trigger, you need to pull the trigger. You find what you want, buy it right then and there. Don't try and put a bunch of stuff in your cart. Buy it right then and there. Unless you're going for the, I need X amount before I get free shipping. Yeah, I would definitely be going on there and throwing in as much as I can quickly. I mean, if it's really, really important that you get something, say like one of those cheap laptops or one of the nice TVs, buy it, click it, do the one touch click thing if you can. I know Amazon has something like that. You might want to do that. But be ready, be prepared, get that thing online, get your computer online running, and just keep refreshing, and then get ready to pull the trigger on that. Sometimes later in the day, or even on Thanksgiving Day itself, early on Thanksgiving Day, they do things. Some of these sites have some really great specials going on, so be prepared. So, what is your Black Friday strategy? What are you doing? Are you doing anything for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Thanksgiving Day, or Thanksgiving weekend? Online shopping, brick and mortar shopping? Are you going to be standing in line anywhere? Tell me, I want to know. I'm not sure if I want to go ahead and do any of that this year. It would kind of be fun. I always like doing it. And I love shopping Christmas Eve. It's a tradition I do. I go out, I take a couple bucks with me, and I just go out there. I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm just going to a store. I'm going to walk through it. And every year, I find something really good, and it's usually been the best gift of that season for whomever I'm buying something for. The first year I really did it was when my first son was born. It was his first Christmas, and Toy Story had been out, and I went to, was it the KB? It was KB Toys. When it's out here in Elk Grove, I think KB Toys, I don't know if there's any stores left, but KB had the 12 inch, 19 inch, the full size Woody and Buzz doll. And I got those on Christmas Eve. Got both of them, gave them to them, and they have been the best toys ever. We still have them. And I finally put them in a box, a memory box that we have. And that was probably one of the best things ever we bought. My son still loved to play with them up till not too long ago, because they were his favorite toy, which is kind of amazing. Anyway, well, all right, that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. No matter if you found us on Stitcher Radio, the Roku, Boxy, iTunes, through a podcatcher from your website player, maybe a friend mentioned it to you, appreciate it. Thank you very much. And if you like the show, please recommend us to someone else. I think that maybe they'll like it too. Who knows? All the show notes and links are going to be over at totallycooltech.com, or you can find it at tctpodcast.com if you don't want to type that much. So go ahead, check it out. I'll have all the links to all the Black Friday sites, and you can check out what the ads have been leaked so far, and you can pick what you want and maybe make your plan for Black Friday. So that will be cool. Let me know what you guys are doing for it. If you want to go ahead and give me a call, you can call the show over at Totally Cool Tech. Podcast listener line at 540-999-TECH. You can also follow us on Twitter. Look for TCT Podcast, or send me an email. That's tctpodcast@gmail.com. All right, everybody, that's it. I will see you next time.